The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on Newstalk.
Yeah, people love Tetris. People love all puzzles. And it's official as of today. Survey has been published. The average adult competes, maybe is a better description, in two puzzles every single day. About half of them spend half an hour per puzzle. Mobile technology has led to something of a puzzling boom as well. Apparently, Stephanie Preisner, the broadcaster and presenter of the Basically podcast, is a keen puzzler. Is
yes,
that true?
I am, and so are you, and sometimes we communicate about it on social media.
Yes, I am in a crossword league.
Yes.
And it's a cup week in the crossword league as well. If people want, I have a special podcast where I talk about the cup machinations. You can subscribe on my Patreon. No, I don't really.
No,
but someone would have that.
Subscribe to that.
What puzzles do you do every day?
Every day I do Wordle.
Okay.
Sudocordle, which is a 16.
Have you a word you always start with on Wordle?
On Wordle, stare, STARE.
STARE, okay.
Because those are the most popular, and then you can kind of go from there.
Mm.
I also do the New York Times mini puzzle and the spelling bee, the ones that you and I be messaging about sometimes.
Yes.
But I'm also into like bigger puzzles. Like this weekend, I built a new Lego set. I often have a jigsaw
on the go. A bonsai tree, I believe. I saw from your social media posts.
It was a bonsai tree. And I just love puzzles.
Why?
Because I think they give me... So certainly during the pandemic, I really went all in with the jigsaws, which I was already into, but now I kind of always have one on the go. I think it's because they give you a sense of order kind of in chaos. Like it's very easy to be like, oh my God, I don't know what's happening in my life. I can't control anything. But if I can find the corner of this shop, this piece and put it in there and complete this puzzle, it's satisfying. And I think different types of personalities are also very reward oriented, and you do get a bit of dopamine from being like, ooh, I just solved that puzzle in, you know, a faster amount of time than I did yesterday.
And conversely, do you get frustrated if it's too slow or if it's a more complicated crossword that you wouldn't necessarily get all of the clues in?
A crossword I can stick with because I know it's just the limitation of my brain. So I'm like, okay, no, I'm going to stick with this. I love cryptic crosswords. But for example, I used to play PlayStation 3 when it was just buttons. And then PlayStation 4 came out and they had those little joysticks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't have that dexterity in my hands for that. And then I would get really frustrated because Lara Croft kept walking into a wall or my car kept crashing. Then I would be like, I'm not playing this anymore, and get rid of those sorts of games.
So how many a day, you were starting to list them off, how many do you suspect you, and do you kind of spread them out across the day, or is it kind of get up in the morning, do all my puzzles?
No, I'd spread them across the day, and I'm quite fast. I don't, like my friend and I do Wordle still, and she can ponder the whole day. You know, if she's stuck on her second line, she'll be like, I'm going to think about it for a while now, whereas I'll bang it out in a few minutes. So Wordle, Sudocordle, the spelling bee, and the New York Times mini puzzle will be the daily ones, and then the Sunday Business Post crossword on a Sunday, the cryptic one, that's my go-to.
Well, crossword extraordinaire Mark Goodliffe is with us as well. He's a serial crossword champion and co-host of the Cracking the Cryptic YouTube channel. Mark, why do you suspect puzzles have become so much more popular? Always popular, but more so now according to this survey.
I think it's a lot of the things Stephanie said, to be honest, Kieran. It's this hit of managing to crack something, even if it's sort of one clue at a time, that's a separate hit. And people love coming back to it. And in a world that's very uncertain, where most of our problems don't have a single unique solution that we can find, it's great to have a puzzle which does, and people enjoy that.
And most people just enjoy the personal challenge, challenging themselves, as it were. But you're more of a competitive crossworder, isn't that fair?
Well,
you beat other people, Mark.
I certainly enjoy the former, but I have moved on to competitive solving as well. And I've taken part in crossword competitions where speed matters as well as accuracy, and also in international Sudoku competitions too.
I'm not a fan of Sudoku.
Are you not?
I do believe in numbers, but I don't find...
Stephanie doesn't really believe in numbers, actually.
I don't believe
in this. This is
not
the first time this has come up.
I find Sudoku frustrating because
The numbers don't appeal. Yeah, I guess some people might have the same attitude
to
crosswords.
But I'm very impressed by...
Mark, can I ask though about competitive crosswording? I mean, what form does that take? I mean, I'm kind of imagining a kind of a you know, Garry Kasparov kind of sitting across from you, the two of you scribbling furiously on the back of a newspaper. What does it look like?
It's not normally head-to-head. It's more like exam conditions. You sit in a room with up to 100 other people. You have a script and somebody starts you off and you open the script and there's three cryptic crosswords to do in an hour. And the first person to hand them all in correctly either wins or qualifies for the final, and then you do it again.
And technology as well has made this all so much easier, hasn't it?
Well, yes. Crosswords have moved online to a huge extent. I mean, a lot of people have worried that with the print medium fading or dying out, that crosswords would stop. And the opposite is the case, I think. They've found an absolute home on the internet. It's so easy to have the crosswords and many other types of puzzles to do on the internet. And it's very popular, yeah.
Candy Crush, Stephanie, apparently was the most popular puzzle according to this survey. Are you a Candy Crusher?
I'm not a Candy Crusher, but I am. In 2020, during a difficult period, I downloaded a thing called Diamond Diaries, which is basically Candy Crush, except they're diamonds. And I would go very quiet for a while and my husband would be like, "Are you catching diamonds?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And now when I get stressed, he's like, "Why don't you just go and catch some diamonds for a while?" I'm on level like 600 and something, but I don't play it every day. It's just there for intense moments of stress.
Yeah, I get something like that is probably a little different, though, is it, than like a crossword? There's cognitive application, whereas Diamond Diaries is a little like Flappy Birds or something.
Yes.
It's kind of more meditative, isn't it?
Yes, it's more mindfulness. It's like I don't have to think about anything, I don't get any satisfaction out of it. I don't feel like I've achieved anything. I've just passed time, which sometimes you need to just like, this is a run out of the clock exercise, which I do find the same. I do Rubik's Cube now, and because it's the same algorithms all the time, you get the same sensation as playing Candy Crush because you're not actually doing anything new, just kind of matching the colours.
It just happens kind of somnambulant. Mark, as such a professional crossworder, I mean, do you look down your nose on kind of infidels like me who just do the New York Times mini crossword?
No, I think they're all very valuable. I mean, learning how to do cryptic crosswords, you kind of need a guide or somebody to teach you what's going on, whereas I think anybody can pick up a mini crossword or a simplex type concise crossword and just have a go at it. And they're beneficial to everybody. I really believe that.
Yeah, I've never really got into the cryptic ones. It's a little like when you're, I shouldn't say this on air, but you know, when you're about 16 or 17, you have your first pint of Guinness and people say, "Oh no, just stick with it. You'll develop a taste over time. You'll develop a taste." It's a little like that. You kind of have to persevere with it at first, don't you?
You do, but you
well,
also...
maybe.
As what Mark was saying, I think you do need a guide because there are certain rules in a cryptic crossword, like, for example, in the Business Post, and they're different depending on who sets the crossword, but any time the word like quiet or soft is used in a clue, the letter P will be in the word because piano is the Latin for soft or gentle, and so that will be in it. You have to kind of know these things, or, you know, any time the word seaman, as in man of the sea.
Things were getting a bit blue there for a minute.
Seaman or sailor is used. AB will be there because of able. You kind of have to know different.
And Mark, someone told me as well that a good way to get into the cryptics is to just look at yesterday's solution and apply it to today's crossword and learn it that way.
That's definitely right. I mean, a lot of us do that, have done that. There are actually blogs now where people explain each day's cryptic crosswords, every single clue, and those are very useful too. So again, the internet has kind of stepped forward to help people more.
Well, one person's after getting in touch, they had somebody to teach them. I started doing crosswords in college during the lectures, and then I had a lecturer who would give me tips on the crosshair in the Irish Times, set me on the right path, and now I do it pretty much every day. Another listener, Kieran, I'm hooked on the NYT mini crossword. Everyone should know about it. It's so simple and so satisfying. Well, thank you to Mark Goodliffe, serial crossword champion, co-host of the Cracking the Cryptic YouTube channel, and Stephanie Preisner, broadcaster and presenter of the Basically podcast. Stay with us here on the Irish Shoulder. Plenty still to come in...
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.